I'll be doing the scripture reading for today. The scripture reading for today is taken from Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 to 21. This can be found on most of your pew Bibles, page 873. I read, "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. This he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylon, and put it in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. The chief official gave them new names: to Daniel, the name Belshazzar; to Hananiah, Shadrach; to Mishael, Meshach; to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief officials for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, 'I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned you food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king will then have my head because of you.' Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, 'Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who ate the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with that what you see.' So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate at the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief officials presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus." This is the word of the Lord. Now, children from ages 3 to 9 are invited to Children's Church. Please come to the left side of the sanctuary. I read again from verse 1 and 2. "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylon and put it in the treasure house of his God."
Greeting, dear saints of God of Boston Strong. You're with me. Again? All right. Do you know that your Father in heaven loves you? I have three questions. Do you know, we're a Trinitarian church. Do you know that your Father in heaven loves you? That your nail-pierced and risen shepherd cherishes you? And that the Holy Spirit anoints your broken soul with the oil of gladness? If so, please say, we do. That was satisfactory. Tonight, seven of us will be sharing our testimonies. As you see from the bulletin, each one will share from her or his experience based upon the story of Daniel, Azariah, Mishael, and Hananiah. Now, Bridget just read for us the first two verses, which set the scene. Now, things could not have been worse for the Israelites. The brutal Nebuchadnezzar himself had besieged the holy city of Jerusalem, causing mass starvation, reducing some in the city of Jerusalem to cannibalism. Nebuchadnezzar finally breached the city walls, dragged off the holy vessels of the temple of the Lord, and stuffed them in the house of Marduk, his pagan god. Along with the holy vessels, Nebuchadnezzar had instructed his chief eunuch, Ashpenaz, to sweep the city of the best and the brightest youth to take back to Babylon for re-education and for service in the Chaldean Empire. Now, among these young men who were taken were four bright lads: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Lysia is our first voice tonight. Lysia comes from Colombia, which is not only shares some of the best coffee, salsa, and scenery in the whole world, but also, despite a dramatic recovery in recent years, a legacy of drug-related violence. Lysia?
May all the glory, the honor, and praise be to our Lord Jesus Christ. And may you, Holy Spirit, according to your will, fill our hearts and this place and these very moments with what you have in store for us. Amen. I was not quite fond of coming to Boston. And sometimes we are not fond at all in life of the things that happen to us, especially when we least expect them to or want them to happen. But everything is perfect in God's precious hands. And I can say today that in God's hands, Boston is a place where people from all over the world will get to know Jesus and be saved. Amen. Daniel, we, just like Daniel, we can be enslaved and taken captive and brought into circumstances where things are unfair or even hopeless. A dear man in my life was enslaved by sin, humiliated, got all his things taken away from, and even his wife was unjustly killed by godless men. And this man one day came to know Jesus. This man became a pastor, and when he was preaching about forgiveness at a prison one day, a man stood up and asked him, "Pastor, would you forgive me?" And this pastor of a humble heart said yes. And without knowing, the man replied, "I was one of the men who took your wife's life." And brother, this man had to leave the pulpit, and he wept for hours, forgiving him. And I tell you, this dear man who forgave it, did it because he was freed of all revenge and hatred from his heart and soul. He forgave just like when our Lord forgave the assassin that was on his side and all humanity. This pastor also pleaded to a judge one day asking for less years of condemnation for the assassin. And the judge granted the man from 50 years to only 35 years of prison. That day, when that man received forgiveness from this dear man, he was also able to lead him to Christ. Today, the forgiveness of this man led that he could serve now as a pastor. This is a result of why Jesus taught us to pray and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I've learned in my walk with the Lord that if we do not forgive, we bind God's hands for doing justice. It is when we try to make matters in our own hands that we do not let God act. The Lord revealed this to my dear father and to my life, that forgiveness is not a decision or an obligation. It is a mandate. For it is written in Leviticus 19, 17 to 18, do not hate a fellow Israelite in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly, so you will not share in their guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Friends, like Daniel, somehow in our lives, evil has wanted to enslave us, and trials have come to burden our hearts. But it is Jesus who suffered the unimaginable and died and rose again to bring salvation for you and for me. As Daniel and as the body of Christ, we will not bow down to the gods of hatred, of bitterness, of evil. But we will stand firm on the rock of our salvation and praise and lift our hands high to the God that fulfills justice and His love. We will see the Spirit of Jesus within us rise and bring back what once was dead, back to life. And with this Bible verse, we are all blessed. Jeremiah 29:11-14 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me, when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Now God, in His great mercy, caused Ashpenaz to show favor and sympathy to Daniel and his friends in their new home of Babylon. Over the years, I've heard story after story of international students and scholars who have been loved and mentored by their hosts here in these beautiful United States. Rotendo comes from a godly Christian family in Zimbabwe, formerly known as Rhodesia. The May issue of the National Geographic documents the dire predicament in which that country finds itself today, and the amazing individuals there who are speaking out for the truth at the risk of their own lives. Rotendo did her undergraduate work at UC Berkeley before coming here to study a degree in public health. She is now conducting research at Brigham and Women's.
When I look over my life, I'm amazed at how God has done truly immeasurably more than I could ever have imagined or asked for. I came to the U.S. with the help of my cousins who had invited me to come and live with them and help them with caring for their baby. Their invitation came as a real answer to prayer when I was at university in Zimbabwe and not learning much as we were greatly affected by the unstable economic and political situation. In the U.S., I began my studies at a community college in California, and God opened doors for me to be accepted for transfer to UC Berkeley and provided a full scholarship that I had not even applied for at a time when I didn't know how I could pay my community college fees. A few years later, I was accepted to do my master's studies in epidemiology at Harvard, but could not receive a loan due to U.S. sanctions against Zimbabwe, although these sanctions were really targeted at government officials. Not knowing what to do next, I deferred my admission for a year and spent that year applying for scholarships, knowing that if I did not get the scholarships, I would have to say goodbye to this educational opportunity. I cried out to God for wisdom and guidance. This situation was completely out of my control. That year, in His perfect timing, God provided me in ways that left me utterly speechless and often in tears, really deeply humbled by His answer to my cries. Through scholarships that I had applied for, including another that I did not even know about from Taiwan, and also financial support from church community in California, I was able to begin my studies at Harvard. My time in graduate school had its fair share of challenges. I had a difficult transition during my first semester, as I had to quickly transition to Boston culture and the rigorous nature of graduate school. I missed my family and dear friends, and the long, cold, dark winters only made matters worse. By the middle of my first semester, I was clinically depressed and struggling to keep up in my classes. Despite these initial setbacks, God has been faithful, and by His grace, I graduated last year and secured employment. Although it is difficult to be far away from family, I am amazed at how God has placed just the right people at the right time in my life. I have had academic and professional mentors at each stage who have advised, supported, and encouraged me to pursue my goals. You know, I always thought I had a large family when we would have gatherings back home in Zimbabwe. But little did I know, God has introduced me to so many more wonderful mothers, brothers, sisters, fathers, here in the U.S. from all over the world during my short time here. And these people are so dear to me. Through them, I have seen and felt God's love and care. And it is purely by God's grace that I am here today, as it is nothing I could have ever orchestrated. God continues to teach me to trust in Him and fully rely on Him in all things. And I am extremely grateful for His providence. I pray that I may use the talents, experiences, and education He has blessed me with to glorify His name. Amen.
Amen.
I read now from verse 3 through 5. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians, and the king assigned them a daily amount of food from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service.
Our first voice lead says, roommate Shannon Jacob also comes from a godly home, from that beautiful teardrop island of Ceylon, or Sri Lanka. Now, like Liche, Shannon is an experienced worship leader in her home church in Sri Lanka, and she has come here to Boston, or also Beantown, otherwise known, or the hub of the universe, for training at the Berklee College of Music. Shannon will speak to us about the qualifications and training necessary for a disciple of Christ to achieve vocational excellence, about presenting our gifts and training to the King of Kings to be employed by Him as He sees fit.
Good evening, everyone. So we all know that in order for us to be qualified or to receive some sort of educational qualification or otherwise, that we have to go through a training process. We have to study for a certain period of time and study a certain set of subjects. And like Pastor mentioned today, that's why I'm here in Boston, to study contemporary writing and music at Berklee College of Music. And it reminds me a little bit of Daniel, because just like Daniel had to study and train for 3 years in the college of, was it Chaldea? Yes, in the college of Chaldea, so I have to train So I have to train here at Berkeley in order for me to receive a formal education and a degree in music. Training is difficult, right? We all know that. We've all been to school. Most of us have been to college. And something that I found incredibly difficult to deal with was my transition from Sri Lanka to here. Because not only did I have to deal with almost a 12-hour time difference, something that struck me really, really strange as soon as I entered college was that everything that was considered as morally wrong in Sri Lanka was suddenly right here in the United States. And that shocked me beyond belief. And I thank God so much that He blessed me with discernment and wisdom and knowledge, and more so with a wonderful family and 4 incredibly good friends back in Sri Lanka who still keep me grounded in my faith on a daily basis. I believe that God handpicks us according to His requirements in order for us to be in a certain place at a certain time, for us to minister to His people. And I believe also that if we have 3 things in our life which we can apply to anything, these 3 things, direction, discipline, and determination, I think that we can achieve our goals. Me being a swimmer and a long distance runner, I know what it feels like to train. And I think that in every aspect of our lives, we need to train ourselves so that God can use us. God has blessed each and every one of us with very special talents and abilities that we can choose to use for the glory of His kingdom. And something I learned from the 3 or 4 verses that were up there that were just read to you was that we have to make sure that whatever that we give to God has to be the very best that we have to give. Because if Daniel and all his friends had to have all those requirements in order to serve an earthly king, how much more should our requirements be in order for us to serve our Most High God? How much more of our talents, time, and life should we be giving to Him? May God bless you all.
Verse 6-7. Among these were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. The chief official gave them new names, to Daniel the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego.
Now these verses are among the strangest verses in the whole Bible. Ashpenaz, the chief eunuch, replaces the beautiful biblical names of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, which honor the great I Am, the Lord of glory, with names honoring the pagan gods of the Chaldeans. And yet, they do not object. For that is not the battle God had chosen for them to fight. Ironically, our next voice did not change her name when she came to these United States. She was before, and she is now, Mei Chi Han, from the land of Aung San Suu Kyi, Burma or Myanmar.
Yeah, I am Mei, and I am an international student from Burma. So our country has been known throughout history that as one of the major countries following Theravada Buddhism, and the population of Burma is right now 48.34 million, and 89% of the country population practice Buddhism. Only 4% of the population is Christian. So my testimony starts with me being raised in a Christian family. I am a 4th-generation Christian. As the primary religion is Buddhist in Burma, almost all my classmates were Buddhist during my elementary and middle school year. I met only 1 Christian friend throughout my high school. Our schools do start each day with the Buddhist prayers, and students are required to say those prayers every day. I never said those prayers till I graduated from high school. I was treated like a strange person because I was so different from my classmates. Now I'm here. I came to the United States as an undergrad student, taking English as my major. I was the only international student in my program. Now I am in a grad school doing my PhD, and again, I'm the only international student in my cohort. It seems I have been in an environment when I'm different from the rest of the people. Sometimes I feel lonely in school, so I told God that I'm confused about my identity. And God is teaching me through this Daniel 1:6-7 that He is faithful. His faithfulness preserves my identity as His child in every situation. My identity is in Christ, and I am a citizen of my Father's kingdom. There must be a reason that God put me in this situation. Amen.
I read verse 2, 8 through 15. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. This he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylon, and put in the treasure house of his God. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. He asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned you food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king will then have my head because of you." Daniel said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days and give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who ate the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food.
Now, the previous mention of the holy vessels of the temple being carted off to Babylon to be placed in the pagan temple of Marduk prepare us for this narrative about godly young men being carted off to serve in the court of a pagan king. Now, Daniel and his friends know and fear the God of Israel, the Lord of hosts. This is the battle the Lord wants them to fight, declaring their allegiance to the Lord and not to Nebuchadnezzar, because for receiving in the reception of the holy of the royal food, if they received that food from Nebuchadnezzar's table, it implied that they were binding themselves in covenant with their pagan lord. And theirs was a covenant only with the God of Israel. Urey, also known to us as Caleb, is a pastor's son from South China. Caleb came here to study business at Northeastern University. And if he returns to China to serve God in the marketplace, he, as everyone else doing business there in China, or anywhere in the world for that matter, will face, like Daniel and his friends, great pressures to compromise.
Hi, my name is Caleb. I came to the United States in January 2011 and joined Park Street Church soon after I arrived here. I stayed and have been involved in PSIF, which stands for Park Street International Fellowship, ever since. God has blessed me through PSIF with all the awesome people through their care and love, as well as He has blessed me through my academic career in school. As I am taking classes and serving PSIF at the same time, I have less time to do my homework in the weekend than other students. I don't have time to hang out with my friends during the weekend as well. So sometimes I just worry that I will lose all my friends here and end up have no friends. But yeah, that's sad. But as I put God first, He really helped me and blessed me with my schoolwork. and my relationship with my friends. Besides that, God also opened my eyes to see amazing answers to prayers. My relationship with brothers and sisters have grown more intimate. And most importantly, my relationship with God has grown more intimate, and my spiritual life has deepened. I became a person who knows to rely on the Heavenly Father than to trust in other people or myself. As a business student, seeing so many good things and bad things are going on now in China, you really need wisdom to deal with those ethical issues. Many times you will have to face the situations that choose between God and the opportunities. I pray that God can really help me as how He strengthened Daniel and his friends to refuse the royal food and honor God at first place. I know that God is not calling me out of the country for no reason, just like those utensils weren't brought to Babylon for no reason. He wants me to study more, and improve myself to better serve Him. And I know I have a destiny that either going back to China or going anywhere He placed me into, I will put Him first in my life, knowing everything that I have is from Him, and serve Him with all I have as Daniel and his friends did. Amen.
Verse 17 through 20. To these young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom.
The excellence with which Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah served was not from themselves. It was given by the giver of all good gifts, our Heavenly Father. Kim Yong-joo, that is Claire, as we know you, is from Korea, the beautiful hermit kingdom, to study at Boston University. Claire is an undergraduate and is still unsure about her future career, but one thing she is sure about, and that's that the Most High God she serves searches to the ends of the earth to find cleansed and holy vessels to be conduits of His grace. God desires godly character before glorious career.
God brought me to America after my sophomore year of high school in Korea, and I'm now here in Boston. God has shown me that many of my values are worldly and that I need to get rid of them. I've always believed that what I have pursued is spiritual, but now I realize that I've been chasing after worldly achievement. Accomplishment in this world is also important, but the happiness that I'm enjoying in these days is acknowledging God in every daily event, whether it's good or bad. As the scripture says, nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving. I've been also meditating on Hebrews 12:4. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from every form of evil. Before, I used to think these words were not very realistic because I thought it would be impossible to remove every evil within myself without leaving not even just one. But God recently helped me realize that He wants me to throw away literally every form of evil. And not only the evils that are easily noticed, but also jealousy, rage, making excuses, and not being able to embrace someone I don't quite like. before I ask God for a specific calling, He wants me to be sanctified. These days, I'm making a list of the newly realized evil which has lain dormant in my heart. And I'm battling to throw them away one by one. And I've been noticing changes in myself. This is what God wants me to do right now. And when I reach the point where God wants me to be, I believe He will lead me to His next plan for me.
Verse 21. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus.
Now we know that Daniel served King Cyrus, the Persian king, until the third year of the reign of King Cyrus. So why does the text mention the first year of Cyrus? That's because in the first year of Cyrus, the first group of God's people returned to Jerusalem. God had brought His people home. Christina Lee is homegrown. A slight correction, she's actually from California. She came out here to study and to serve her Lord on campus and in the Park Street International Fellowship.
Hello. When I started graduate school at MIT, I was surprised at the diversity of my academic community. When I joined my lab, I was the only American among both of my professors, students, and postdocs. If I were to guess, maybe only 15% of the people in my sub-department are Americans. But through the example of brothers and sisters in the International Fellowship here, I've come to be really excited and in awe of the precious opportunity I have to interact with such a diverse community of students from all across the globe. It's quite humbling and exciting to remember that I am a part of the fulfillment of God's plan to bring His kingdom to the ends of the earth. Indeed, God has provided opportunities to share His hope among my classmates, and I praise God for His faithfulness in pursuing the hearts of my friends. One of my friends from college has been struggling through depression and anxiety. I am fully convinced that only the love of Christ can truly rescue and heal her, and I remind her of that whenever I can. About 2 years ago, she wrote to me, "I want to open my heart to Christ and let Him do His good work, but don't yet have in my heart the unconditional faith that Jesus is my only and personal Savior. Yet I have seen and felt the presence of God and His children in my life. Throughout the last 1 or 2 years, I have been increasingly burdened, unhappy, and dysfunctional, the details of which we need not go into. So many of God's people, including some that don't even know me that well at all, have been so persistent in being in my life and helping me to let God in, despite my slow progress and response. I feel the presence of a calming force in them and around them when I'm with them." And about half a year ago, she told me, "I cannot help but observe that of those around me, the people who have God in their life are the people who are most at peace and satisfied. I want that peace." The path of recovery, as well as her journey in seeking God, has been long, full of ups and downs. Yet meditating on this last verse of Daniel and thinking about not only God's faithfulness in bringing the people of Israel back to their home, but also ultimately God's fulfillment and His faithfulness in bringing the world back home to Him, that is something that just really encourages me and helps me to persevere in hope for my friends. A verse that I hold on to for her is 2 Peter 3:9. "The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but He is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." Dwelling upon God's faithfulness through the centuries in advancing His kingdom and seeing the unfinished story in my friend's life
makes me long even more with hope for the day when God will bring to completion the redemption of the world.